Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh God, I'm getting so sick. I can hear myself getting sick. That's the sound of me getting sick. These are getting worse as they go, but I'm Alex.
Let's hear it for the sick boys. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about Gen V, season one, episode 7, Sick. Now I say season one because between the time we taped the last episode and the time we're taping this episode, the show has officially been picked up for season two. So that's pretty exciting. Not only that, but they said, this is Eric Kripke, I believe, in an interview, that season one of Gen V is essentially going to end in a handoff to The Boys season four. And then Boys season four will do the same thing, doing a handoff to Gen V season two. Cinematic universe, baby.
And perfect timing, because this episode felt like that, you know?
Right. Yeah. So spoilers, we should say that up front. I know we say that every episode, but spoilers here. If you haven't watched it on Prime Video, go watch it, because we're going to spoil the heck out of it. But yeah, big season finale vibes of this, with still one episode to go after this. But we are having the gang all news about what's going on in the woods. They're making a plan to take it down. And the plan, of course, goes terribly wrong on multiple levels.
Horribly wrong.
First, as Kate is sent to take out Shetty, even though everybody doesn't really trust her, she ultimately does in the absolute worst way possible. In the meantime, we find out how Shetty really feels about Kate. We get a bunch of big cameos, including Mal, old boss, shows up.
Yeah, we also get Victoria Newman.
Her name,
and then one time they went to her house.
that friend I went to her house one time. And the other big one, of course, is Victoria Newman, a.k.a. the head popper, who is now running for vice president, shows up in a town hall at Godalkin University. Marie tries to take the information about the woods to her, finds out some big revelations about herself, specifically that Newman is also a bloodbender, or whatever we're calling this.
Got a couple of head poppers over here.
And yeah, she is also her, not supporter, what's the word that I'm looking for?
Candidate?
Benefactor.
Benefactor, yes, that's the word that I'm looking for. So we get that, and then by the end of the episode, Cardoza is also dead because his head gets popped. So Newman has all of the virus. Shetty also slits her own throat on Kate's command.
Dean Shetty. That's how you get revenge on the dean right there. That's getting the dean
back.
That
was the original ending of Animal House, actually.
Yeah, I was just going to say, You think it's fun to hit golf balls at a horse, man. Just do the old John Belushi throat. Was like,
Oh.
He's like, I'm a zit.
Really, really great. Maybe your best impression.
Thank you so much. Anyway, like I said, I could not believe this episode, how hard it went on everything. Like, legitimate, I don't know what they have to say after this at this point, because they took out the two main villains in this episode. The virus is gone wild.
It's in a vial. It's not like it's gone. It's in that cool
But
thermos.
I think the implication there is that Newman is probably going to take it into The Boys season four, because I feel like that's the plot of The Boys season four at this point.
Yeah, I think we're going to see all of that more. And let me just say, like, watching this, looking beyond just The Boys Gen V universe into, say, your Marvel or DC cinematic universes that are struggling and have been struggling for a while, to see this pulled off at such a high level where they are dovetailing so nicely. And granted, it's just two TV shows, but the writing's awesome. The action's amazing. The acting is fantastic. Like, this show is just crushing it right now. And it's so interesting watching this at the same time we're watching a show called Loki. And to compare and contrast just
Hey, let's not take shots here, guy.
What compare and contrast what each of these shows prioritizes is really interesting. And not to offend Pete, number one Marvel boy, this show just
– I also like DC anime stuff.
And like you're saying, Alex, leaves it all on the table.
Yeah. Pete, what did you think about this one? You seemed kind of frustrated before we got on, so I'm a little worried you didn't like this episode.
No,
is that because you're anti-people slitting their own throats? Because I'm
– I am.
I don't know who you talked to, Eric Adams won,
and he's worse somehow.
You know, it's frustrating when you ask my opinion and then you fucking talk over me. I think it's one of those things.
Welcome to the show.
I don't know what you've heard, but I'm very much against people slitting throats, even when they're mind controlled. It's not a good look and really hard to watch. But I enjoy the show very much. The Sam Emma of it all is very exciting. And I was really disappointed with the old you stay here, I'll go for 3 hours and hope nothing happens. And it's like, oh, God, haven't you guys ever seen a TV show? This is a horrible idea. But yeah, I loved all the action. Ton of stuff goes down this app. I'm excited for what's to come. But man, yeah, I'm Team Sam and Emma all day.
Definitely want to talk about that again. Are you okay? I want to throw out two things that struck me in the episode.
Celebrate.
Yes. For anybody listening on the podcast, if you make a peace sign on Zoom now, brings up a bunch
only
of
only if you do the update, bro.
Only if you updated your operating.
I don't know.
You got two people
who
don't update.
Two people.
One who does.
Driving me insane. Oh, my God. So stupid. Anyway. It's so stupid. Why do they do
it's,
that? I'm not
it's embarrassing for you specifically.
It and is. It is.
Go ahead.
It's hard to take you seriously as any kind
I know.
Of
I know that. Otherwise, I'm very serious. So first thing, last
Why
episode,
so
I was joking about we were talking. You brought up, I think, Justin, the idea that Shetty was very similar to Butcher. And I was joking and being like, oh, they're never going to do a thing where Butcher's going to show up and be like, this lady's just like me. And they did.
And my response was, yes, they would. And we nailed it.
Yeah, they did. Basically,
what are you talking about? Butcher didn't show up.
They did Mallory. The next best thing. Mallory was like, you know, you remind me of a guy I kind of work with.
Yeah.
Who has rage issues as well. And I was like, all right, I get it. You don't have to underline it.
But I loved that connect. Mm-hmm. We did call it, which is crazy to me because we're psychopaths. And and I thought it really works, though. Again, it shows the blurred lines and gray areas that both of these shows are all about. And the fact that we learned at the same time why Shetty hates soup so much because of the flight. Is it Oceanic or is that the airline
it's,
for Lost?
It is. It's a reference to Lost, but it's Transoceanic Flight 37. We find out when Marie and Jordan are snooping through Shetty's files that her husband and daughter, her husband, who is 46 years old, and her daughter, Lily, who is 11 years old, were on Transoceanic Flight 37, which is the one right back at the beginning of The Boys, was taken out by Homelander. Yeah. There was some terrorist action. He was like, ah, screw it, and just started killing people. And that's been a huge
because he messed up and then just,
and Maeve was there too, and they sort of,
she witnessed.
She's
the whole
like,
thing.
Maybe we shouldn't do this, and he's like, well, who cares? And that's where we first find out that Homelander is, you know, the ultimate bad guy here, potentially. And what a great origin to flash that back to her, to Shetty's origin story here.
So this was the second thing that I wanted to bring up. I'm going to start doing two this way so it doesn't bring up the balloons. This is the second, or maybe I shouldn't do that at all.
Don't be scared of balloons.
It's an audio podcast. I don't need to make the symbol too. This was thrilling. Like, I giggled out loud when this revelation happened, just because it's bringing these worlds so close together. And I was like, oh, shit, here we go.
I thought this is Homelander's fault. You giggled when the guy's.
Yeah, I love throat slitting, and I love when somebody's entire family is killed in a plane crash. Those are two things.
Oh, man, that's dark.
Yeah,
that's very dark.
So, thrilling to have that sort of note of bring the worlds together. But I did think there was an element of it that was a little frustrating because it made Shetty's motivation external to the show Gen V and to the events of the show Gen V. When I want it to be something that deals with something that we've seen already in these first seven episodes or potentially are getting in the last eighth episode. And I felt that a little bit in her final speech where they're like, wait, this is about Homelander? And she's like, yes, Homelander killed my entire family. But also I hate the rest of you and I'm going to kill you with the virus. And I was like, it works because I see these shows and I like these shows, but it should have been something about the students, about the show, about the school.
She could have been like, I hate learning and people who are trying to learn.
Yeah, she might have been books. Like, no more teachers, no more books.
There we go.
Teachers, dirty looks? I don't know how that goes.
Yeah, that's what it is. No more sneakers, no more books, I believe, because of Jim.
Yeah.
Interesting point, but I actually liked it a lot because while it was external to this show, it was still like a character and characters that loom large over it. So to touch her out there, I think I enjoyed that they were bringing that in, especially a vent that if you for some reason have never seen The Boys, you can still understand that a plane being crashed by a soup and losing your family would make you hate them. So like I buy it even if you hadn't seen The Boys. But what I like about it even more, and especially at the end, she goes from being the big boss to a mini boss at the end of this. She gets sort of like a bad speech. She loses her status as the mastermind here. Mm-hmm. Because I think the show is saying she's not the big boss. The big boss, I believe, to make a prediction for next episode, is the split that's about to happen in this team about how hard they're going to go and whether they're going to sort of sacrifice their futures for the chance to do what's right and maybe break out of the Godolkin cycle that Newman is telling Marie
You feel like the students that we've been watching is going to split and there's going to be a good group of students and a bad group of students is what you're saying.
Well, I think Sam's exposure to Rufus's worldview and then the sort of riot that breaks out at the Newman speech is going to be what I think next episode is about. And that's going to cause a fissure. I think they're going to have to end up fighting Sam and like maybe Andre's in there. Marie will maybe switch sides. I think it's an internal team battle is where we're going to end the season. So the real boss is like the worldview and POV of who should have power in a world where there are soups.
I think that's a fair way of... Oh, go ahead, Pete. Sorry.
I just wanted to say, I hope you're wrong, Justin, because this team just got... I mean, they're barely a team. They're barely working together. And I don't want to see them split up. I would love to see them try to fight Vought or try to come together and be a team.
Fight Vought, like go fight a corporation?
Yeah, man.
Vought Doritos or something? Like, what are you saying?
I mean,
you don't want to buy Vought and Dew, the soda that is bad for you?
Versus our real world Mountain Dew, which is very good for you.
Great for you. Yeah. It's so
sailors
delicious.
Used to drink Mountain Dew so they didn't get scurvy.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Justin. It makes a lot of sense. I just, I hope you're a little bit wrong because we're just getting this team together and I'm just starting to like them. So I agree. It makes a lot of logical sense.
Sam versus Emma. Sam versus Emma, you have to choose who lives and who dies.
I hate that. I'm going to go Team Emma on this.
Buckle up, kid.
Oh, I hate that. I could never decide Emma.
Emma.
All day.
I would love it if Emma lived.
I don't want to derail anymore. Zelbatron, were you going to make a point?
No, I think I'm glad I heard your point as well, because I agree with you. It's very pleasing to see this team coming together. But like Justin's pointing out, I think that's a very apt point because the whole season has been nonstop discussions in a more complicated way than a lot of other modern superhero shows about being a hero and being a villain. And what does that mean? Not being a hero villain, but like hero versus a sellout essentially is the idea here. Like, are you just going to go with this corporation and be a mouthpiece, or are you going to do what your powers actually give you a possibility of doing?
Yeah, it's that thing of like, Yeah, like, just because you love Mountain Dew, does that mean you're, like, a part of the problem? You know what I mean?
And the answer for you is yes, I believe, yes. Right? Like, you would choose to go to Mountain Dew, Dewniversity, and continue to become...
No, I wouldn't sell out my friends or family for that opportunity, but if
I know for a fact you would. If there was a... if me and a bunch of Mountain Dew were drowning... I would see you in the under the sea.
No,
because I know you'd be taking home that Mountain Dew.
That is, I'll throw a life vest around a Mountain Dew, but I wouldn't. You have a family. You know what I mean? I couldn't let you die.
So does Mountain Dew. Have you ever been to a supermarket? Dew. Mountain Dew has lots of cousins and brothers.
Oh,
and
man, those
and
little
stuff.
Ones are
well,
so cute.
There's Code. There's Papa Code Red. There's Grandpa Dew. Then you got Barry Blast, cousin Barry Blast, or whatever.
Baja Blast.
I just
Bob Last is in town for the week.
I'm worried about Newman and Marie because
wait, hold on. Could I just finish up what I was going to say about Justin's point? Is I hadn't really thought of it that way, but I do think that's a smart way of thinking about it. If that's how they're going to go in terms of clearing out Shetty, clearing out Cardoza, clearing out the virus. This thing that we thought of as the overarching plot of the season, when in fact it does that thing of clearing that stuff out so we really can focus on the main characters in the last episode. If that's the way we go, I like that take.
Yeah,
it makes me feel a little better about the ending there.
Yeah, good, good. I'm here to make you feel better.
Thanks, man.
And Pete feel a little bit worse about his soda choices. But what I was going to say is, it's a nice, because it's not even as simple as like sell out or just be a hero. It's like, this happened with Starlight that's the point is everyone sells out a little bit, but this was what Starlight's plot focused on it in previous seasons of The Boys.
I stay real here on my The Boys podcast.
Yeah. Our corporate, this is an Amazon corporate supporting podcast. Yes. But Starlight ended up having to be working in a system and trying to make it better, a corrupt system, or working outside the system like The Boys to try to take it down. And I think that's the same choice that Marie is given.
That's what exactly. Because she is being tempted with but think of how much you could do if you were on the Seven. You could really.
But I think the other side of that is if you are trying to make the existing corrupt system better, you're still propping up the corrupt system. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, if you go outside the system to try to take it down, your life sucks the entire time and it's misery. So it's like, these are complicated choices that there isn't a right answer to, really. And that's where I love having these characters.
Well, so
I
just
agree
to give
Can I just give a
brief overview of the Newman-Marie plot, just in case people forgot or they're listening to this later or whatever. So Marie manages to sneak inside of the town hall where a riot breaks out between soups and non-soups. Nobody knows that Newman is actually a soup. And she goes backstage, sees Marie there. Reveals she's the benefactor, reveals she has blood powers as well. She basically can do the same things as Marie. And then, like we're saying, Marie tells her the stuff about the woods, and then she gives her a choice. And she says, look, you can go your path, you can be a superhero, you can go rogue, and they're going to shut you down and throw you back in the facility immediately. Or alternately, you can keep a little quiet and ultimately go directly to the Seven, be the first black woman in the Seven. I'll be the vice president. We'll work together and make things better inside. But, and I don't know if this is what you're going to say, Pete, I think the thing that also makes it more complicated is Newman is not trustworthy at all. So she is presenting a choice, but whatever choice she's presenting is serving her as well.
Well, that's what I wanted to say was the real choice is to suffer, live outside of the umbrella of money and fame and suffer and try to take it down from the outside.
You say you would do as a person, Pete?
Yes, I'm saying that if I was one of the students, that's the choice that I would make. But,
I think we should go outside the system, the three of us, and try
release
to make
our
a change.
Road podcast in the middle of the woods.
Yeah,
like the real woods.
Maybe we could shake this place
no
down.
Microphones. This is owned by. We got this from Amazon. No laptops. That's from Apple. We're just gonna go totally nude in front of some trees, talking about The Boys. What do you guys think? You in?
Well, I mean, you joke, but that's how it started. We did a live show with just in front of. Just in front of people. There was no kind of recording.
Completely nude. Tell the whole thing. We were completely nude in front of people.
We were not.
And it was in the woods.
I mean, it was a black box theater. It's kind of like the woods.
Basically the woods. Yeah.
Definitely a lot of bugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like the woods. What are we talking about? Why don't we go back to the beginning? Oh, yeah.
Wait, Justin. Before we go, just on the Newman Marie stuff, I just think it's so smart the way they've slow played Marie as a power player. I talked about this a little bit in previous podcasts, but it takes such great just measured writing to go from this girl whose powers she isn't in control, and they're just like slinging sharp pieces of your insides, blood everywhere, and they've meticulously step by step given her a little bit more power, and to reveal that that Newman, one of the most powerful supes in the boys show, who like literally changed the course of the world with how powerful she was when she popped all the heads at that press conference, like they've put Marie right there beside her, and I just thought that was so nuanced and smartly played out for us.
Totally agree with you on Marie's arc. It's also interesting, like we've been talking about, to see them add in new iterations of her powers that make total sense every episode. Like here, Newman challenges her.
She can sense things in people's blood, you know?
Which makes a lot of sense. No pun intended.
Oh, boy.
I did not mean that. But for real, I think like they're creating extensions that do connect to the rest of her powers. It doesn't feel like they're overpowering her so much as exploring the different iterations of what she can do, which is nice. I also liked, I was worried last episode about Marie and Jordan to get on the relationship front, but they seem pretty strong. They have a really cute scene in front of that wall of ads where they figure out what they're going to do together. I like that couple.
I agree. While we're still talking about Marie, though, I do think, though, realistically, she should take her powers and just think about, like, she could open up a doctor's office and be like, you have high blood pressure. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to test the blood. I mean, there's no labs, you know, you could just go and she would know all these things. I just think that, like, you know, that's what she should really do with her powers.
Yeah. I will also give a shout out to Jess.
A blood pressure cuff? Is what you're saying?
Yeah, you know, there's other things you can sense in the blood. You know what I mean?
She could stand in the back of a CVS and just tell people, like, hey, take it easy. Reduce your salt.
Exactly. How great would that be?
I love that guy.
Thanks. You're right. I am.
That's why I go to CVS instead of Walgreens, because CVS has the take it easy guy.
I love that guy.
Oh my God.
Hey, take it easy. He might just be a guy who lives in the neighborhood.
Really? All right. I don't think so. They probably hire him.
He asked me to buy him beer once. I don't know if he's a pharmacist.
I wanted to just give a shout out to Jazz St. Clair and her acting job in that final scene when Kate stops her from saving Shetty and she's just begging her. She's like, please let me help her.
And then she's like, I'm sorry you have to relive this. It's like, it's a huge deal that she has to relive her parents dying again. Like, my God.
Let's jump over to Kate then, since we're talking about her, because we get to see a lot of different nuance with her in this episode. First, now she can hear people's thoughts. She can hear that people don't trust her. Jordan definitely doesn't trust her. Andre doesn't really trust her either. But they seem to be in slightly a better place. Like, Kate's trying clearly really hard to win over Andre, who we'll probably jump over to in a second because of the stuff with his dad. And then we get that great scene with Shetty, where Shetty actually says, I love you. And then we get this turn at the end where Kate kills her and makes everybody watch and says, it's for all of us. And there's an exchange between Sam. Her and Sam, who's now been instantly radicalized. Yeah. Do you know what you've done? So. Justice for all of us. Full on heel turn from Kate at this point, like owning her villainy. What do you guys think?
We always talked about her as being potential villain from even early on when she was sort of a smaller player. And then when she had the turn and she was working for Shetty the whole time. And even now, like, you know, she's been through a lot. So I think what we're saying, and so has Sam. So I think we're saying that the soups who felt the real crush of the people around them and are really traumatized, they're, you know, going to be much more vulnerable to taking these hard turns. Like, Sam just had to do an ice slip and slide for like a half an hour, and he's like, I'll kill anybody. That's how fun a slip and slide.
He had his first beer. Take it easy on him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about Sam a little bit then? What do we think about this arc for him? Pete, you had to love the scene of him doing the little dance. In...
Well, that's why I wanted to bring up how that was like he opens up the panty drawer and then I'm like, oh, God, this is going to get weird. But it's hysterical that he was just kind of like doing the finger puppet thing. I thought that was kind of weirdly hilarious. And they
what would you think about that? You're dating somebody. You get tiny in this scenario. You're dating somebody and you walk in and they're doing a little dance in your underwear. You like that, Pete?
I think it's kind of hilarious. Of all the things you could be doing with somebody's underwear, that's kind of a cute thing to do. So I thought it was like, and it also kind of had this puppet thing that is his deal a little bit. So it's strangely hilarious is my point.
Add some light puppetry to it.
Yeah.
Is that what you call, like, with if you have underpants in your hand, it's sort of like puppetry?
No.
Take a little bit of puppetry. Underwear.
So he does get taken in by Rufus, and he gets taken over by this rally. Why does
he
Rufus...
He didn't get taken. He was forced to go there, and then he got being like,
where's
Emma?
He wasn't forced, though. Like, why did Rufus want him there?
Yeah, right.
Well, it was hard to tell, but I thought it maybe that Rufus was there for a real reason, like someone had sent him there to, and he knew that that was Sam. But at the end of the day, I think it was sort of like, no, Rufus is just a regular dick, and he saw someone who would listen to him for a second, and he then just got Sam.
He was
Sam
like, hey, my dick was exploded.
This man.
Yeah, so when I say
dick,
regular dick, literally. I mean very irregular dick.
Yes, we do get this rally, and that's pretty tense. I'll throw out there as well, not to prognosticate past the last episode of Gen V, but it definitely feels like Soup Rights and this virus are going to dovetail in The Boys season 4, I think.
Yeah, that. I mean, some of the things they were shouting during that kind of meeting were very triggering and kind of crazy to the climate that's happening
right
now. Yeah,
I mean, that's what The Boys has already always done hardcore. It's going to be interesting to see how much of the setup of this next season happened here in Gen V, because I'm going to guess quite a bit, potentially. Particularly with the Victoria Newman thing, running with Bobby Singer for president. So we're probably going to get more on that as well. Cameron Coleman, very angry, really yelling.
And he knows how to maintain a press conference. Mm-hmm. He just keeps rolling, even when there's lasers shooting the
flags. Even when there's no camera in his direction. He's just looking out on stage and hoping it's there.
Soup's Lives Matter, I was like, oh, wow.
And, like, they're playing with some tricky political territory here. And that's what I love about The Boys and Gen V is, like, they go hard. They satirize the big issues. Very cool. Let me make a further prediction. Alex, you were talking about Gen V as sort of X-Men metaphor. Like, you know, they're outsiders, hated and feared. I think at the end of the season, they will go some number of the team, because I think some people are going to die.
Oh.
Some number of the team will become like an X-Force style rogue team that is on the run, and they will come back in to The Boys season 4.
Ooh.
Crossover.
That's style. Exciting. Let's talk about Andre. We just mentioned him, not to swerve onto something entirely different, but I thought this was a very surprising storyline. I thought we were going to really build to a polarity Andre fight. But we really get the opposite here, as it turns out that Polarity, I assume, has like a stroke in the middle of his interview and needs to be taken to the hospital. He's ultimately taken to Vought Tower, if you couldn't tell exactly where he is. And he's not doing so great here at the end. Andre is hanging out with him. That was a pretty scary scene to watch, just on an emotional level.
Yeah, the whole like, you know, it was touching to see him run to his father's side. The whole ambulance thing where everything is he's trying to help and with his powers and stuff was so stressful and insane. But yeah, and it was also kind of, you know, the choice that he makes to be with his father was a real change from where he had been. So, yeah, I'm worried what that means for the team and all that kind of stuff where decisions are being made when he's not around. But yeah, him and Kate, just like you don't even have to read his mind to know how much he distrusts her. That was just like so apparent on his face, which I thought was such a smart choice to not.
But does he still love her?
That's the question, right? Because he has so much hate for his dad, but he still loves his dad. You know what I mean? So like maybe he still does care for Kate.
Yeah. I mean, that's true with parents, I think, a lot.
I kind of feel like Kate's a little bit of an Emma Frost while we're talking about comparison to X-Men characters a little bit. You can't touch
I think that's
her,
a great call.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like Emma Frost meets Rogue meets a bunch of other things, I guess.
Yeah.
What I was going to say about that is I thought that maybe Polarity was exposed to the virus.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, potentially.
I don't know. Yeah. That made me stressed because he's just
out. He didn't
have
boils or anything on him, or, you know.
No,
true, but that may have been built around that particular power set of that kid. So, I don't know. The whole thing was stressful.
Yes. Yeah. Very stressful to watch. Very emotional. We also didn't really talk about the beginning scene where we see a bunch of people in the woods who are infected with the virus.
Gross. A lot of boils.
Yeah. A lot of boils. Very scary to see. Scary scene.
So... that brings me to our next point. We're talking about people who are, you know, kind of dodging responsibility for things. This fucking scientist, man, is to blame. The fucking guy who would rather piss in somebody's liquor than do anything to.
Would you drink
really
that real
help.
Quick? Like, would you drink that, like, on a dare or something like that?
No.
Justin?
No,
my a lot of very good scotch is full of piss. Mm-hmm. Like, when you hear about, like, oh, this is a really peaty scotch. That means someone named Pete has peed in. So, Pete, you must know all about it. Very peaty.
No. Nope.
Mm. Very peaty.
So I really hate that scientist, and I'm glad he's gone because he's been helping in such a shitty, horrible way this whole time. And then at the end, he tries to be like, oh, no, it's your fault. But it was like, dude, you were...
Well, but that's like we've been talking around forever with the boys and also even this very episode of Gen V. That's kind of the whole point here is these shades of gray of like how far do you fall down the system, right? How many compromises do you make until there's absolutely nothing left and you've actually gone into villainy? And is anybody wholly a villain? Like with Cardoza, he doesn't see himself as the bad guy. He wanted to create this virus for good reasons, even if they were actually bad reasons, probably. And he feels like he's been trapped into the situation. He doesn't know what to do. He feels like he does the right thing at the end and ultimately pays for it by handing this virus to somebody who's potentially is even way worse than Shetty. And he doesn't know it because the system is that broken. So all of these people are grappling with these things in different ways. All of them are making choices. And they are taking them to further and further choices, some of them that are very bad. Like simple choices like Sam saying, oh, I'm just going to peek my head out and see this slide. And then he hears, we're soups, we can do whatever we want. And that immediately hits home with him. And he goes hog wild by the end of the episode.
He's been trapped in the woods for a really long time. You know, you can't blame him for wanting to sled and have a beer.
Yeah. Even though he doesn't know what a beer is, really, right?
Or sledding.
Yeah. Bummer
great
for
points.
Him.
Great
what
points
a great day.
Around.
What if you had a beer and didn't even know what it was?
Wouldn't that be great? You'd be like, ooh, it's bitter. What are the bubbles? Yeah, what's going bad. On? Oh,
well, I mean, the first time you have a beer, it's gross. It's really... Yeah. It's,
and then ever after, it's bloody delicious. The way we get compassionate control in that final scene very, very much reminded me of compassionate conservatism, which I thought was a nice little touch point. You're a 21st century American hero. All great dialogue. I thought it was funny that she pulls like the blank card trick. I was like, hey, murderer lady, you don't need to do a little pranks like that. But she does. She wants him to just really feel the slap.
Somebody hands you a card. Yeah. You gotta check that right away.
Right.
Yeah.
It would have been very funny if she turned over the card and on the other side it was like, bang!
Yeah, splat.
Splat.
Pop. Like a Joker thing.
One other big revelation we should probably talk about that Shetty throws out right before she slits her own throat is that she says Gadalkin is not a school. It's actually a lab to study soups. Then she explains that she's creating the virus to kill everybody off. But yes, like you said, Pete, makes total sense. It explains a lot about what's going on, for example, like the lack of classes and things like that.
Yeah, also like how somebody's RA can just be fucking a goat a whole time and nobody
Whoa. First of all, that it is an alpaca named Sloane, and she might be a student who turns into an alpaca.
And secondly, all RAs are like that. Have you ever visited an RA? They do that.
You
That's
know
why
what that stands
RAs.
For, right? RA, raging asshole.
Yeah, It's really into alpacas. The eye is very tiny.
Oh, nice.
I mean, one of the things that's really nice about the show is you can think like, okay, I'm going to start this next episode. I think I have an idea where this is going to go. Nope. Not one time, never.
RA stands for Rogering Alpacas.
Oh, there we go. You figured it out. Any
rudding,
other...
Rudding alpacas.
Oh my any God, other notes stop. From the episode you want to call out? Any other scenes or anything?
Shouts to the whiskey bottle piss, is what I'm going to say. And then Emma's line, that is a normal amount of sex toys.
For yeah, yes. that was
she had
a
the
fun.
Starlight vibrator from, yeah. I believe, last Good season. For Good for yeah. her. Absolutely.
Good for her.
Yes. Pete, you got anything before I start talking and then you interrupt me and say one more thing?
Nope.
Great. All right. Why don't we finish up the episode by talking about who is best boy? Who is best boy in the episode? Pete, who is your best boy?
Oh, man. It's really hard because I seem like I go between Emma and Marie the whole time, you know? And I don't want to just be this one trick pony, but man, I love Emma. So let's go with Emma.
Nice. Proving great. Once again, the best trick pony. I got to give it up for Marie. I was saying before how much I've loved her evolution over the series so far, and it continues and will continue into next episode.
I'm a little torn. I do kind of want to give it up to Shetty just because I thought the actress was very good in this episode.
Oh, my God.
But
yeah.
I'm going to give it up to Sloan. Every time Sloan shows up at the show, it is an absolute delight. What an
Weren't
alpaca.
You an RA, Alex?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
That makes
he
a lot
were,
of sense.
He was.
You're a fucking dick.
If you'd like to support whatever you want to support, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about the boys and Gen V. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter, Comic Book Club Live on Instagram and TikTok, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, keep hearing all those boys.
What?
I really got to plan these out.
You can see an alpaca just behind Alex's head if you
no,
look.
No.